All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Right After Dragons here. Dats and Curry recapping episode 8. Just fresh off of what looked like an hour and 20 minute episode, essentially. Curry, how are we feeling?
Dats, I'm good. Yeah, that was a long one, but it was very, very solid. It wasn't fluff. A bit of a setup, but it was very, very solid episode of Thrones of Dragons.
Setup with payoff. I feel like that's kind of the theme for this one. Sometimes you get just straight setup. Sometimes you get payoff in action. This was set up with some payoff. So where do you want to start, Kerr?
Let's start title of the episode. Too much to go off of here, but title of the episode was Lord of the Tides, which was the initial central conflict in the episode. Was around who is going to be Lord Corlys's heir, who's going to succeed him as Lord of the Tides, Lord of Driftmark.
Yeah, and that they get to that right off the bat, and we're talking 6 years, right? That's what we get right off the jump street.
Yeah, so we knew there was going to be another time jump, just because we knew the actors were being replaced with older ones. But yeah, so we had a 6 year time jump right off the bat. We have Princess Rhaenys she's sitting on the Driftwood throne, and she's talking to like some maesters, saying, what's the deal with my husband? It's been 6 years, saying basically that he's not dead, but apparently he's doing worse than King Viserys is, which is hard to believe. But so Lord Corlys, apparently he suffered a near fatal wound in battle and like fell into the sea, but they saved him. But he's got this blood fever. So basically, he's as good as gone at this point.
He's a lost cause.
They're talking about who's going to be, what are we going to do? Who's going to be the next Lord of the Tides, Lord of Driftmark? Who's going to command the fleet, the Driftmark fleet? Naturally, we have Vaemond, who is the younger brother, Lord Corlys. He's making his claim to Princess Rhaenys. He said, look, I want the Driftwood throne. I am his blood. His true blood, this is my house. I want to make sure, my blood, my house's blood continues. And this kind of echoes what his position was last week. As we saw, he kind of made the comment during the eulogy of, the true blood of the sea and salt. And, so we kind of knew that was going to be his point. And Rhaenys kind of shuts that down right away, which was, surprising. Because last week she kind of said that she questioned the lineage of Lucerys, and said, I want to skip Lucerys and give it to Bela or Rhaena. I don't know if she picked one of them, but she would rather have it go to, Laenor's children as opposed to Laenor's children, because she didn't think they were Laenor's children. But anyway, this week she says, look, Lord Corlys, this is what he wanted. He wants it to pass to Lucerys. So she says at the beginning of the episode to Vaemond that is her position. And Vaemond, he kind of opposes it. And he also makes a comment. He says, the queen sits the Iron Throne these days. They're talking about King's Landing. What's the king going to do? And he says, the queen's the one who sits the Iron Throne these days. So that was a big, big intro there between those two, between Vaemond and Rhaenys.
Yeah, sets the stage for kind of the dynamic of where we're at right now. He also makes a comment about the pups of House Strong, referring to Jason Luke. So pretty overt with his position there. But yes, not a king, a queen is what's sitting on the Iron Throne right now. And that kind of, without showing us, which we get to see, just kind of tells us where things stand in terms of who's running the shop over there at King's Landing for sure. But go ahead, Kerr.
So the next scene, this was a quick hitter here. It was just the big takeaway from this quick scene is that Syrax had a hatch of 3 dragon eggs. Daemon and the dragon keepers are talking High Valyrian, and Daemon's the one that goes in and kind of picks them out, and he says, get them in the warming chambers. So that's big. That's big. As we know,
Three, yeah, so not one.
Three. So we know dragon eggs. We know not all of them hatch, but still we know that the strong children, Rhaenyra's children, presumably Joffrey doesn't have a dragon. And now, as we learn later in the episode, Daemon and Rhaenyra, one, Rhaenyra's pregnant, and two, they already have two children. So that's right. That's three eggs right there, which will probably, I would imagine, go to Daemon and Rhaenyra's children, but you never know. But still, that's three potential future dragons on their side of this conflict. And the, you know, when you're talking about a dragon, it's not like, it's not just a pet for your child. Like, this is basically a weapon of mass destruction, you know, for your child.
It's a nuke. We got three nukes. Yeah. Yeah. We got three nuclear warheads for sure. Yeah. And then we get kind of the classic, like, Rhaenyra comes in, she gives like a little head nod to her stomach bump, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like,
she's got a hand on her stomach for a lot of her first scene to make sure everyone's like, hey, check it out. She's pregnant. She's like, don't miss that. What else? Daemon received a message from Baela. We find out that Baela is, Daemon's daughter Baela is being kind of kept at Driftmark as Princess Rhaenys as her ward. Rhaenyra and Daemon are talking and Rhaenyra says, well, you know, Rhaenys thinks we had her son killed. So she's not, you know, even with Baela as her ward, I don't think she really is a fan of us right now, you know?
Yeah. Define ward for the people.
A ward. I mean, so
it's odd. Yeah.
So Theon was Ned Stark's ward, in the beginning of Game of Thrones. So a ward, it's just like, I don't really know how to explain it, but it's just some, you know, they're raised by someone else as like a, almost like not an apprentice, but just as like a
stepchild
type thing. It's not like a mother, a father, son, you know, mother, daughter relationship. It's almost like a business transaction, but you know, it's her granddaughter. Yeah. So it's not like, obviously it's a loving relationship, but as far as like absolutely. Ned Stark with Theon, like he treated him like a son, but at the same time, it was very much like a business transaction.
Transactional for sure. All right, cool. I just want to get that out there. We got Jace. He's speaking High Valyrian. He's trying his hardest. Yeah. He's struggling.
Yeah, that was a cool scene. We see Jace studying.
Little Rosetta Stone. Yeah.
We get the first shot of Joffrey. Prince Joffrey is a little guy, cute guy.
Yeah, he's chilling in the corner doing this thing. Mm-hmm. What else am I going to say? Daemon brings a note. Luke's legitimacy is going to be questioned. They kind of feel that coming now since this is, you know, it should be just like a default transition of power. But now that we have this big to do, it means there's only one reason why, and it's because legitimacy is going to be challenged for sure.
Right, right. And yeah, so Baelis sends a message to Daemon, and now Daemon and Rhaenyra have to kind of come up with a response. And they know, you know, oh, the vipers are ruling in my father's name, you know, talking about Plato and Alicent. So they're like, look, we got to go to King's Landing and we got to stake our claim here. So that's their move. They head to King's Landing. And they get there and they're not greeted. They're greeted by like one random guy
kind of bullshit.
Who we don't even know. Bullshit. Random guy. And even Rhaenyra says like, oh, like I hardly recognize it. And it does, like King's Landing looks a lot different. They mentioned it later in the episode that they removed a lot of the like traditional Targaryen like decorations and art and almost like history and replaced it with a lot of religious stuff. A lot of, seven pointed stars, the seven.
Yeah.
Queen Alicent's wearing this new big pendant with the seven pointed star on it. And when we see Queen Alicent, she looked a lot like Cersei to me this episode when Cersei first takes the throne. Like she's in like her black and like just very, it's like a new look. And Alicent, I think she was in green, but it was a very dark green on my TV. It looked black. Yes. But so that was the imagery that came to my mind.
Yeah, they got a weak welcome as they showed up. And then we get to it's like small council, queen's just the king, the queen's in the big chair, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, so yeah, the small council meeting, Allison's running the show, Plato's right there as well. Sir Harold comes in and says, you know, oh, they were welcomed as instructed by the hand. Like that, he made it a point to say, you know, they were welcomed as you wanted to, because they really weren't welcomed.
We stiffed them thanks to your order.
Yeah. So there's a very brief small council meeting scene. It's not like a big plot device this episode, but you know, some takeaways. Obviously, they're talking about the succession of Driftmark. They mentioned that Lucerys, you know, oh, he can fly a dragon, but can he command a fleet? You know, he's only a kid. You know, Lord Beesbury's kind of, he's in there. He's still kicking. He's old and just as absent-minded as before, just droning on about nonsense. And who else? There was a Lannister was on the small council. One of the twins. I don't think it was Jason. Jason was the cocky one. I think it was the other one. Tyland. And that was about it from the small council. There wasn't too much to take away from that that meeting, as long as, you know, you saw that there were some differences, there were some new faces. I don't know if we got all the names to the new faces, but some new faces, and obviously, you know, Plato and Allison were running the show.
Got it. Then we get to, we have some delicate happenings in Baby Aegon's apartment, right?
Apartments. Yeah, that was this was disturbing. We'll just cover the whole Aegon scene here. We'll skip, because they did skip back and forth, but we'll cover the whole thing here. Mm-hmm. There's a member of the Kingsguard, and Allison got the guy's name wrong, and I think there's twins. I think he said like Eric and Eric, and anyway, that was, I think that's like a book hat tip there or something. But anyway, there's trouble in Aegon's apartment. And so there's this girl, the handmaiden, her name's, you know, Diana. And basically she's like, she's crying. She's like apologizing and like throwing herself at the queen's feet. And I'm just like, as a viewer, you're like, okay, like what did she do? What's wrong? And you kind of get the picture pretty quickly. It's pretty evident that, she was raped by Prince Aegon, and she says, and she says as much. She says, you know, oh, you know, I didn't see him, and it happened so fast, and like, I didn't see him, and he wouldn't stop, like, so that, you know, they don't really come out and say it, but that's as blunt as they'll get about it, is, you know, that he didn't stop, and then it just gets really ugly from there. So Allison kind of starts victim shaming this girl and gaslighting her, and says, you know, oh, you know, I believe you, but not everyone will. And, you know, people might think you're trying to, you know, besmirch the prince's name, and, you know, this isn't a good look for you. And so she's gaslighting, mm-hmm. she's victim shaming, and basically gives her some hush money and some of the moon tea, some of the plan B, and says, we'll take care of this. Good, you know, thanks. Keep your mouth shut and drink this. Just
and here's some hush money.
Yeah, very, very cold blooded from Queen Allison.
She doesn't seem too surprised, though.
It's she didn't seem surprised at all, and it seemed to me that like it's evident that this has probably happened before. Like, this is probably not the first time. This is the way they had, you know, the hush money and the plan B ready to go. Like the gift basket on the way out. Here's your money. Here's your, here's your morning after pill. Yeah.
So just really shitty look. And then if you just keep going on the Aegon.
Yeah. And then train, just to wrap up the Aegon scene. So Queen Allison goes and you know, wakes him up out of bed. And we you know, he's just, Aegon is not the kind of royalty. He's like a Robert Baratheon type leader. Like he doesn't want to be political. He doesn't want to sit on the throne. All he wants to do, you know, the first time we met him, he was jerking off out the window. So like, we know what kind of guy he is, and he's still that kind of guy. And he doesn't even know the girl's name. Like Allison is like, oh, you know, what the hell? What happened with Diana? And he's like, who, like, what do you like? He like barely responds. So he's kind of a monster. Not in like a Joffrey, like murdering type of way, but like, I mean, sexual assault, rape is a big deal. And obviously if this is like a time period of, you know, medieval times or whatever, I guess it's not a big deal, but today's society, I mean, that's obviously that's horrible.
Yeah. And we also learn in this that he has a wife.
Yes. Yes. We learn that he has a wife, and it's his strange bird sister, Helena. Mm-hmm. We get some funny lines from her later, but yeah, we find out that the two of them are in fact married, and he's not thrilled about it.
Yeah. And she says, "You are no son of mine," which I think by the end of the episode, she's definitely going to maybe revert that course for sure.
Yes. So she says, "You are no son of mine." And that's a direct quote of Tywin Lannister from Game of Thrones. He says that to Tyrion, and you know, Tyrion ends up killing him. So maybe that could be some foreshadowing. Maybe not. I don't know.
But it is.
Aegon and his mom are not on the same page. And he even says to her after she says that, he's like, "Look, I never wanted any of this. Like, I just want to do what you tell me. Like, I didn't want any of this." But he's bad guy. Not a good guy. Not rooting for Aegon in any sense of the show.
No, for sure. All right, so that wraps up the little baby Aegon side plot. Hear more from him later, but we go back a little bit. We got the king, man.
Yeah,
the king is shot.
Let's jump back, to the king. So
he's,
we see the king. He's in his bed, and he's like basically on his deathbed. This reminds me of like Willy Wonka, like the grandparents, how they're just like in the bed. They like live in the bed. Like I imagine that Viserys has just lived in this bed for the better part of the last decade. Like he's missing an arm. Now, like it's up to his face, and we see his head's kind of wrapped, like half his face is like wrapped. We can't even see it. And he's just wheezing and like struggling to breathe. And his mind, you know, he's not all there. We know last episode, he wasn't all there. He called Allison Emma. Now it's like he's barely processing what's going on. Like, so he's visited by Rhaenyra and Daemon, and they're like introducing themselves, and he's like, trying to process it, like he doesn't really know what's going on.
Daemon.
yeah
And they got him all jumped up on drugs too.
Yes. And that's, they make a point of that. So at one point he asks for his tea, and you know, Daemon gives it to him, but then afterward they made a point to show Daemon like sniffing the tea, thinking like what is this tea that they're giving him, you know? And we know like the maesters suck. Like, these are the worst maesters of all time. They've done nothing to help this king at all. And so they're giving him this milk of the poppy, which is essentially painkillers. Just, you know, keeps him alive, but it's really not good for him, not sustainable probably. And so they're having a little talk with him, and Daemon's like trying to get to business. He's like, you know, Lord Corlys is not doing well, you know, he suffered a near fatal wound in the Stepstones. And Viserys is like, you won that war years ago. And Daemon's like, no, like the Triarchy is resurgent. And you know, Viserys doesn't really know what's all going on. And Daemon's like trying to get him like, look, like you need to back, you know, Viserys as the heir tomorrow, you know, he's the heir to Driftmark. You need to back him. And he's not really processing it. And then, you know, Rhaenyra is talking to him. They introduce their two babies, the two Targaryen babies, Aegon and Viserys.
Yeah, big intro.
Yeah, that was a big intro. And are they twins, do you think, or just close in age? I couldn't really tell.
I think close in age.
Yeah.
Maybe Irish twins, but
Irish twins.
But
and so there's one named Aegon, who I guess would be Aegon the Third at this point, and then Viserys the Second. Viserys got emotional at that. So that was kind of a cool scene for little deathbed king.
It kind of woke him up a little bit. That's it for that scene, right?
Yeah. So that's the end. It ended with Daemon sniffing the tea, being like, "All right, what's going on here?"
Yeah, they're drugging my brother. Now we get the old princess and the queen.
Yes. So
right
now we get the princess and the queen. I'm going through my notes. We skipped over the Aegon scene. We already got to that. So yeah, so now we get to Princess and the Queen, and they're kind of not exchanging pleasantries, but they're just kind of discussing, like, you know, oh, like, we didn't get a welcome, like, what the hell? And
yeah,
you're doping.
What's with the new what's with the new religious shit?
What's with all the religious stuff? Like, what happened to the Targaryen stuff? And you're, you know, keeping the king doped up on milk of the poppy. So, you know, what's going on here? Like, it was very much very much calling him out on the state of affairs of the king.
Yeah, I think the big thing was, you know, Rhaenyra delves a little bit into, like, hey, reason we're here is because of this, obviously, debacle. And she's like, yeah, me and the hand will decide. It's like, just totally, like, me and Plotter are on the show here, bud. Like, welcome home. No beating around the bush whatsoever. Like, yeah, we'll decide tomorrow. Have a good night. So that's where her vibes are at, for sure.
And that was exactly the point of that scene, was, yeah, just again to show that Plato and Alicent are running the show. They're not hiding it. It's not a secret, and Rhaenyra is going to have to deal with that. So from there we go to the fighting pit. We have a little courtyard scene. We're following, you know, Jace and Luke are back in King's Landing, and they're kind of reminiscing a little bit down in the training pit. They're like, oh, you know, you remember this? I remember this. Like, look, and Luke,
remember Dad? Remember us and Dad out here, right? Back in the day,
Luke is like, oh, you know, it looks so different. And Jace, like, no, it looks exactly the same. You know, they're just having a good time and
good band.
Yeah. And now here we see the scene that we saw in the trailer of Aemond and Kristen and their training. So it was similar to, like, you know, years ago in Game of Thrones when, like, Arya and Brienne were fighting in a trailer and people were freaking out. Well, that was just a training scene. Again, this was just like that. It's a training scene. So Aemon and Kristen, they're training, they're having a good time. Aemon is clearly he's grown into this, like, legit warrior. Like,
he's a stud.
He's kind of badass. Yeah. You don't want to mess with Aemon.
Eye patch looks awesome.
I mean, he basically looks like young Daemon, just with an eye patch.
Mm-hmm. With a sick eye patch.
And you still don't want to mess with Daemon, but young Daemon was absolutely a savage and a wild card. Awesome. So I think Aemon is of that ilk.
And then, yeah, the seahorses come through right before we get a little nephew uncle showdown in the courtyard. We got the seahorse coming to stake his claim.
Yeah, so Vaemond Velaryon and his whole company show up, and they're holding the banners and the sigils, and yeah, so just right on through the courtyard.
They're buzzing. They're feeling good.
Yeah, and I feel bad for Lucerys for most of this episode, because he's still young. I mean, I don't know, maybe like 15 at most. Like, he's young, and Vaemond Velaryon he's a grown man. He's, I don't know, in his 40s maybe. He's this grown man who's picking a fight with a 15-year-old, and so he shows up, and Lucerys just kind of has to watch as they roll in, and. And then, yeah, then we go straight to the no, that's the next day. Where are we at here? We get a little Plotto
Alicent, like, aside, right?
And yes.
He talks about how, like, do you want a child? This is a big deal. Like, stepstones are important. Do you want a child who knows shit about running, like, essentially a navy, or do you want, like, the assistant secretary of the Navy for the last 20 years.
Yeah. So, right. We get Plotto, Alicent, and Vaemond are all kind of together here. Right. And, so that's it. Plotto's big point. He's like, you know, he's a child. You want a child in charge? There's a threat of war. He said, you know, Jaehaerys and Viserys have kept peace, but we're really close to war. And the key takeaway here was Vaemond offered his allegiance to the High Towers, to the Greens. He said, something along the lines of, you know, look, if you name me the Lord of the Tides and, you know, heir to the Driftmark, then I'll be in your debt, and, you know, as will my navy. So he picked his side. He said, you know, make me the Lord of Driftmark, Lord of the Tides, and you'll have Driftmark as your ally. So that was big, big power shifting play there.
Yeah. And this is like Vayman's, you know, like, hey, let me get a seat at this table. Like, this is the big league table. I know I'm a second born. I know Plato, you're a second born, but like, let's dance. Like, I'm here. Let's make this happen. Then we get a little bit of Rhaenyra and Bela, I believe.
Yes, and Rhaenys.
And Rhaenys, yeah. And this is like another like, all right, like very much like drama chess. What's the game
plan? Yeah, so I think this took place in the Godswood, where a lot of big convos have been in the Godswood on this series. And
Including one between them. They were like kind of hanging on the side, but early days when Viserys was almost marrying
when Viserys almost married Laena, and when Rhaenyra's claim was still being questioned. So we have we find out here that Bela is Rhaenys' ward, and Rhaena is, you know, the other sisters with her dad and Rhaenyra. And Rhaenyra kind of calls out Rhaenys, says, you intend to advocate for yourself. Rhaenyra thinks that Rhaenys just wants to keep keep the Driftwood throne, and she wants to be, you know, queen of the tides, or, you know, lady of the tides. But, you know, Rhaenys doesn't really show her hand here. But she says, you know, she kind of starts to walk away when she gets called out like this. And then Rhaenyra makes her an offer. Says, look, back Luke's claim, and we can wed my children to Daemon's other children, which is weird. So, and, you know, unite our houses that way. You know, there's still true Valyrian blood on the seed of Driftmark, and that'll still be continued. And we talked about this on the preview pod. It was just kind of a logical conclusion for how to solve this issue. And it's how they handle these kind of things in Game of Thrones in Westeros.
And it's a double marriage.
Proposal. Like, yeah.
You're getting queen of Driftmark, and you're getting queen of the freaking Seven Kingdoms too.
Yeah. So really good offer. It was
big bargain.
Yeah, I think it was Bela and Jace and Rhaena and Luke. And this is, you know, this is what Rhaenys wanted. You know, last week she said, let's, you know, skip over Laenor's kids and give Driftmark to Laena's children. So that's you know, now she's guaranteeing that her children, that her blood and her grandchildren will be on the throne. So it's a really good offer.
Got it.
And she kind of calls out Rhaenyra on it and says, you know, this is a desperate offer. And it's similar to the offer. I think Rhaenyra made a similar offer to Allison at one point, right? A couple weeks ago. It's kind of a desperate offer. This, you know, the proposals are almost the Hail Mary play. And Rhaenys kind of ends this interaction with a big quote here. She says, the High Towers will land their first blow tomorrow and force you to your knees. And I think she finished it with, I will stand alone. I wasn't sure if she said, I will stand.
I must stand alone.
Okay. Again, you know, these are the reasons why I should watch it with subtitles to make sure I get these quotes right. But I don't want to read the show. You know, the second time I usually watch with subtitles if I need to watch something again. Anyway, so yeah, big quote from her there saying, you know, the High Towers will land their first blow. So she's telling Rhaenyra, hey, like, Vaemon's going to win this tomorrow. Like, you're in trouble.
You're fucked. Yeah, and the thing is and this is why it's like set up, but like movement, like, and like happening stuff, because like, all right, he gets Driftmark, like, who cares? Well, it's like, no, he gets Driftmark only if like the legitimacy is like on shaky ground, or like felt as if it's illegitimate, because it should be a layup. If these kids have blonde hair, it's a layup.
Oh yeah,
but
if these kids look more Targaryen or more Valyrian, then yeah, no one's questioning it. It's just like, exactly. I keep saying they're like Italian stallions. They look like Sir Strong. I mean, it's ridiculous.
All right, then I think we get what I think is the biggest I think this is the most important scene in the episode, I think, for me. Daughter, father, king and heir, and like talking shop and like getting deep, getting macro, ice of fire, and like, hey, you gave me this crown, bro. Like, what'd you give it to me for if you're gonna sit in bed and, you know, crush painkillers while the queen shits it to fucking bed. And so I just think big scene between the two biggest players in the series so far.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that this was a very underrated scene, because I think without this scene, you know, who knows what happens the next day. And I also think that, you know, because of her conversation with Rhaenys, like, I think it made her get desperate, and she realized, you know, oh, I gotta pull out the big guns. I gotta talk to the king. I gotta talk to dad, and get him to make a play here. So
gets out of bed.
Yeah, and so she's talking to him, and again, he's barely there. He's just breathing is such a struggle. And yeah, she's asking for his support, saying, you know, support me, like, you name me your heir, you know. I didn't want this. I thought I wanted it, but, you know, I need you to support me. She's asking about, like you said, Macro, the Song of Ice and Fire. You know, do you believe it? Like, you know, you told me to keep it secret, and like, do you believe this? And yeah, so big scene between the two of them, and she really needs the king to back her at this point. And it seems desperate, because, you know, he's on essentially on his deathbed, and who knows what's going to happen. So,
yeah. Well, she gets him out of bed, right?
Absolutely.
Next, you know, the boys are going to work on the king to get him all shaped up for a big public appearance.
Yeah. So he's getting his back worked on and everything, and it's just gross as hell. And he says to this is a funny little moment. He says to Plato, you know, hey, Otto, I want to have supper tonight. I want to have supper. And Plato is like, your grace, it's morning. Like, almost like insulting his intelligence, because he thinks he's like an invalid. And he says, you know, your grace, it's morning. So, yeah, I supper tonight, idiot, you know, with my family. So that was, you know, it shows that he's still there. And
he denied the old poppy.
Yeah, he denied the poppy. He was going to fight it out. And he said, you know, I want to have supper tonight with my family. So he knows that all his family's there, knows it's a big deal. So yeah, he was putting on his work boots and going to work here, putting on his king hat.
Yeah, packing a lunch pail.
Yeah.
All right, where do we go from here, Kerr?
So yeah, now we're at the, I don't even know what to actually like call it, but we're at the council, the election, if you will. You know, I don't know. We're and Plato is, I didn't think he would actually do it, but he's actually sitting on the throne.
He's a scumbag.
Yeah. He's sitting on the throne and says, you know, that they're speaking for the king today, him and Allison. And so Vaemond goes first and nominates himself and gives a big speech about, you know, I'm the blood, I'm the closest thing to, you know, Lord Corlys, and, you know, make sure that my house and my blood is continue. Just the same thing he's been saying for an episode and a half at this point.
Yeah, his step.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Rhaenyra cuts him off at one point and says, you know, if you want your blood on the throne, then on the Driftwood throne, then, you know, Lucerys is your blood, and he's, you know, the next in the line of succession. So again, you know, this is all kind of a moot point. And Queen Allison is like, you know, wait your turn, like, you know, give him respect, blah, blah, blah. This reminds me, you know, as an attorney, this reminds me of court, as like, you know, someone's making their opening statement and like opposing counsel objects and judge being like, hey, like, it's his opening statement, like, you don't object to that, something like that. So
yeah,
sure. Anyway, so next Rhaenyra starts to speak, and we know she's going to nominate Luke, and showstopper,
our boy,
the doors open behind her, get the big announcement with all the titles: King Viserys, first of his name, Lord of the Andals and the First Men, blah, 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 all that. Just awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Making his entrance.
First big play we've seen him make, I think.
Yeah, this is literally the first thing he's done that's been like, you know, tip of the cap to the king. Like, that was a king move. Yeah. And he takes his sweet old time getting down there, but he's not getting, I thought maybe we'd have like the brand type wheelchair, but, we know that doesn't, I guess that doesn't exist yet. And, he's just crutching his way down and, he says the plato, I will sit the throne today. Just, just so triumphant.
Fucking love.
Yeah.
It.
So that was
for, so un Viserys, like so not him.
So that was a
but so good.
Goat move from King Viserys there. So I think he's for sure a goat of the week nominee after that.
Absolutely.
So he says he'll take the throne today. And he kind of puts an end to all this.
He's got the attitude.
He says, look,
he's got the attitude.
Why are we doing all this? This is a settled matter. But then the wild card here, he goes, but I will defer to Princess Rhaenys, who, if anyone knows what Lord Corlys's wishes were, then it's her. So I defer to her. And this is interesting. So what were you thinking? What were you thinking at this point?
I think she might say, he's not dead yet. And like, let me hold this seat until we know. But he has expressed that, I was kind of fucked out of the throne. So, he's expressed that he feels that my next position in life is to be, running the show at Driftmark.
Yeah, I mean, I thought...
I mean, her last thing was, I must stand alone. So it's like, is she doing it or not?
Yeah, I'm with you. I thought she was going to stake her own claim. Or if not, then I thought she was going to go with Team Green. I thought she was going to defer to Vaemond almost. But... So I was completely surprised by her actual comments. So she again reiterates, look, Lord Corlys's wishes is for Lucerys to take the throne. But then she doubles down with it and says, and also, Rhaenyra and I were just talking and, Lucerys and Jacerys are going to marry Baela and Rhaena. And, so they're going to be on the Iron Throne and the Driftmark Throne. And that was just a power move by her to just, to just put that out there, in front of everyone. Now it's official, and the king is just all right, done. But then he loves
everybody, marry, kiss, love it,
and Vaemond is pissed. He's heated. He's freaking out. Gives a big speech. He's staring at Lucerys several times. He's a kid. He's a 15-year-old kid, and this man is just staring at him. And he's going on, and everyone knows. Everyone's waiting. He's say it.
Say the B word.
And he finally does. He yells. They're bastards. And he says to Rhaenyra, and you're a whore. And that was just. Shots fired, bro. And I was very satisfied with the end of this scene here. And old man Viserys gets up and takes out his little dagger, a knife. Well, I don't think it was the cat's paw, but takes out a knife and says something like, I'll have your tongue for that. And we've heard him make that threat before about the legitimacy of his grandchildren. And before he could even take a step off the throne, Daemon from behind with his big ass sword, Dark Sister, slices his head off. Just, oh my God, that was so satisfying.
Fantastic.
And,
right. Not even like the neck, It was like, he just like cut his head.
Yeah. And if you saw, the scene in like the morgue, he sliced him like through the mouth, like was where it was cut. So like, mouth down is there and mouth so like his tongue is still there. Oh my god, that was that goat move from Daemon. Say what you want about Daemon, he's a divisive character, but that was sick. That was a goat move.
Yeah, defend his wife, love that. Then we get, and the king's had too much for one shot here. He gets out of there shortly after this all goes down.
Yeah, he gets out of there. Oh, and I forgot to mention again, another Daemon move was when the king was, making his long walk to the throne and like his crown fell off and he said, he didn't want any help. Well, Daemon went up and helped him, and the king kind of like accepted Daemon's help. So that was a a good gesture from Damon, but yeah, with his brother, and he, you know, put the crown on his head. So didn't want to overlook that.
Yeah, and he gives him a come on. He's like, come on. Mm-hmm. Like, come on, bro. Like, you're not too, like, I got your back. Come on. Then we get a little morgue scene. I'm not sure there was a big point to this.
Quick morgue scene. Just kind of shows that the Rhaenys is pretty cold-blooded, and she's been through a lot. She says, you know, the maester says something about, like, oh, you know, the stranger is the god of death, and the seven says, you know, don't look upon the stranger. And she says, you know, I've seen the stranger many times. Like, I'm, you know.
Yeah, fuck exactly.
So she's pretty heartless, pretty cold-blooted, and definitely mm-hmm. someone to watch out for. As she, you know, she made her own power play here. Not her own power play, but it's she's got mm-hmm. some interest, and she's stated her she picked her side, basically. She picked Team Black. Mm-hmm. So good on Rhaenys.
Now it's dinner time, right, Curry?
Yeah, so now we get to the family feast, and again, now we're, you know, we're a lot of shots going around the table showing all the kids who are now, you know, young adults. And you know, Aegon is just being himself, just a total perv, freaking out everyone, bothering everyone, you know, bothering Jace, making comments about Jace's betrothed, saying, you know, oh, great, like, you're finally going to be with a woman. And then even, you know, says to Bela, like, hey, you know, if you ever want to be with a real man, like, you know, I got you. Like, just totally uncalled for stuff. Like, grow up, dude. You're like 25 at this point. I don't know. Like, grow up.
He sucks.
Yeah, he sucks. He's a rapist. He sucks. And
your girl Allison's bringing the prayer, little prayer circle for the crow.
Yeah, that was definitely something. This is very much like when Cersei, like, leaned hard into, like, mm-hmm. the High Sparrows and religion, and, like, yeah, it seems like Allison is doing that kind of thing. Like, she's leaning very hard into religion, but we haven't seen any sort of, like, faith militant type action. I don't know mm-hmm. if that's mm-hmm. if there's a movement like that out there, but yeah, she's leaning very hard into the faith. Yeah, then we have a very, like, heartfelt speech from Viserys here. Like, he's just, his heart is awesome. On his sleeve. Yeah, just goat move from Viserys. And says, you know, everyone here is my family, and I love you all, like, my children and my, you know, my grandchildren, like, I love you all, and there's been so much between us over the years, and, like, we got to put an end to it. He's showing his gross, disgusting face. He's not wearing his gold mask. He's missing an eye. Like, just gross. But he's just showing his true self and saying to everyone, like, hey, we gotta come together. The house of the dragon cannot be divided. Like, you know, let's put an end to all this. So just really, really passionate speech from King Viserys. It's almost like a goodbye speech. Like, he knows that his time is up. This might be the last time he ever dines with his whole family like this. He just wants the future to be, he doesn't want it to be divided in the future.
Yeah. And he says, if not for whatever, but for the sake of this old man who loves you all.
Yeah.
So it's like, shit, like, it's like grandpa's talking, everybody shut the fuck up. And what he says matters. And we're all here because this guy is who he is.
He's playing, like, the emotional card, as opposed to, like, the power, the king card. You know, he's like, look, you know, as this old man, as your grandfather, as your father, like,
it's grandsire.
Yeah.
Grandsire. Mm-hmm. So.
And
important.
Yeah. And then
there's a response to it. Yeah.
Yeah. And it, the response is, Rhaenyra makes a toast, you know, toast to Allison, you know, to you and your house. Toast to the queen, says, you know, you've been so loyal to my father and duty and honor. And, you know, I really appreciate that. And thank you. And, you know, toast to the queen. And it seemed very genuine. I thought this was 100% genuine. You know, she's listening to her father's words. And then Allison responds, says, you know, we're both mothers, love our children, toast to you and your house. You'll make a fine queen. And I thought this was genuine too. I really did.
It was.
They didn't really show much of Plato here. I thought maybe his eyes would be popping out of his head. But it's, yeah, it seemed genuine between Rhaenyra and Allison here.
And yeah, there's one thing to say, like, hey, you love my dad for so long, and like, thanks for that, because you know you had to get those 3 a.m. wake up calls where he was wanting some loving, and you know, thanks for, you know, dealing with that. That's like, you know, a kind gesture, and just like a hat tip. But saying you'll make a fine queen is a little more than that, a lot more than that. And it's like a public acknowledgement, not that this is, you know, publicly public, but it is amongst important people, including, you know, boys that think they might have, you know, a reason to do X, Y, or Z. She's saying, you'll make a great queen, you know, like, and genuine.
Right. And that's, this is almost like a peace treaty, important. Like a peace summit, a peace dinner. And, you know, both sides of the war, you know, are there. And now the two people who have really like been at the forefront are making up. So it's like, you know, Aegon wouldn't be the way he is without Alicent like forcing him to be like, hey, you know, you have to be the ruler, and you know, Rhaenyra would kill you if she had the chance to quiet your claim. Like these things have been pushed on the children from Plato and from Alicent, and in turn, I guess, you know, Rhaenyra probably has affected her children as well. And that's probably some of the reason why they kind of have bad blood. And, you know, Aemon says, you know, that, you know, they're bastards. Like he got that from his mother. So like if Rhaenyra and Allison are making up, then, you know, there's reason to believe that the rest of the family can trickle also down, yeah, trickle down. Reagan there, shout out. And, that they can all, that they'll all make up and the future will be bright. And it starts to go that way here with the rest of the toast. Everyone's going around making toast. Jace is the man. Love Jace. And, you know, future King Jace, he says, you know, he makes a toast to, who's he toast to? Toast to the princes, toast to Aemon, toast to Aegon. You know, it's great to be around you guys, blah, blah, blah. My uncle's toast to you guys.
Any fond memories of our youth?
Weird, strange bird, Helena, gives a toast to the girls, to Bela and Rhaena. And this was hilarious. Some comic relief. She says, oh, you know, don't worry. Your husband, he's just going to ignore you, except sometimes when he's drunk, which that's just so funny because.
And it's so funny because it's her
brother and he's right there. And she's essentially saying to everyone, Hey everyone, my husband, brother, you know, we have no relationship except sometimes when he comes home drunk, he wants to hook up. So just wild.
Yeah. Love it.
Love that. Yeah. And then, you know, Jace again, he dances with Helena. Like,
love it.
He's taking the high road. Like while Aegon is making comments about Bela, about Jace, like Jace just turns the other cheek. He says, you know what? I'm going to be the king. I'm going to take the high road.
Yeah.
I'm going to dance with Helena. You're a loser, dude. And it seems everything's going great. It's my note. Just like, good time.
Plato's smiling. Plato
smiled. No, he didn't. I don't believe it. I'll have to watch it again, but
yes, there was a Plato.
So smile. Yeah,
it was like Bill Belichick. It was like Bill Belichick smiling.
So yeah, so everyone's having a good time. And they show Aemon. They've showed Aemon a lot, and he's just kind of always has like a stern face. And they show it. I think Luke actually like looked at Aemon maybe at the eye patch and laughed at him. And that was kind of a key moment here. So Aemon, after he sees Luke laugh at his eye patch, he stands up, says, you know, final toast. And to paraphrase here, he said something along the lines of, to my nephews, to, you know, Jacaerys, Luke, Joffrey, to the health. You're so wise, you're so bright, and you're so, and he like dramatic pause says, you're so strong. And obviously he's poking fun at, you know, Harwin Strong as their father, and says, you know, to these three strong boys. And Jace and Luke, they get up and they come to fisticuffs and Jace punches Eamon. Eamon doesn't even flinch. He takes this punch like a champ. And meanwhile, Aegon kind of grabs Luke from behind and like smashes his face on the table. Kind of a cheap shot there, but you know, whatever. And then they get separated, and that kind of ruins the evening.
Yeah, everybody back to your quarters, you know. And so, yeah, it was. I mean, it was too good to be true, right? I mean, this is House of the Dragon for a reason, and so, you know, it's not everybody, you know, singing Kumbaya
and,
for sure.
And Allison says to Eamon, like, why would you say that, like, in this setting, like, you know, what's wrong with you? And it's,
yeah, I think this is just a little, not to get like super symbolic, but like, I think this is like almost like what we're talking about with like trickle exactly. down is like, even if, you know, Rhaenyra and Allison are all kosher now, I'm not saying that they are, but I'm saying even if that's their stance, like, the it's out of the friggin'
exactly. woods already. The next generation has already, you know, already had that, already, you know, it might be too
late. You already would, like, set this precedent that, like, tenses are high, screw the other side. So it's like, you guys can kumbaya all you want, but these, you know, boys and, you know, potentially girls, you know, you raise them this way, and this is going to go on for the next generation.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate, but it's good for us as viewers, because I think we got some good stuff to take in. So the next scene, we're almost at the end here. It's been a long episode, but we get this scene of this hooded figure going through King's Landing.
Yes.
And we've seen a hooded figure twice before. Like, that's Daemon's go-to disguise, basically. So I'm like, okay, like, what's Daemon up to? And and we see Missaria, who, again, Daemon's former paramour. You know, she's back in the running the brothels of King's Landing, I guess. And we also saw that she was kind of an informant for Plato at one point. So, so got to watch out for Missaria. Anyway, so this hooded figure.
She's got some green shades.
Exactly. She's a little green. So this hooded figure goes up to Missaria, and it turns out it's a woman. And, you know, I wasn't sure at first, you know, my wife was watching, and she kind of filled me in. It was like the queen's servant, like the queen's handmaid. Is that what you gathered?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the queen's servant is talking to Missaria, and like, I'm not sure what to take away from this part. Like, was the queen's filling Missaria in on this, but who is Missaria giving this knowledge to, you know?
Yeah.
Like, because I thought she was working for Plato, but Plato was there. He already knows all this, unless there's some other knowledge that was told. Like, I'm not sure. That's I'm confused by this scene, and I'll probably have to watch it again to really gather my thoughts.
Yeah, well, I think the only person we've seen that's kind of been in, but is at least out on these settings, is our boy, the Lord of Harrenhal now. Strong.
Laris, yeah. Laris Strong, he was not in this episode. And he's in the
preview, though, I'll tell you that.
Is he? Okay, yeah. Again, I didn't watch the preview. So yeah, Laris Strong could absolutely, that would make sense.
Yeah, go ahead.
I thought maybe there could be a third party that an unknown party that we don't even know yet. There could be I don't know, it could be like Rhaenys or something, you know, someone who just wasn't there but is that we know of, but we're still not sure what side they're on. But I don't know. Laris Strong makes the most sense. Absolutely.
Laris Strong. And I think, you know, I'm not sure how, like, it's how much of a two way street this Laris Strong Queen Allison dynamic is. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he must be telling her a lot of different things, but I'm not sure how much she's saying about X, Y, or Z to him, especially 6 years later. So, interesting, and I think that's maybe the most likely, unless it's like something third party that we haven't seen.
Right.
But it's in there for a reason.
It's in there for a reason, and we'll find out soon enough, I hope. So the last scene here, as we wrap, coming to a close, is Viserys is in bed and he's almost like hallucinating at this point. Like he's coughing, struggling to breathe. Yeah. Like he's back to Viserys in bed and back to, you know, not doing well. And Allison's mm-hmm. there taking care of him, and he starts talking to her and starts talking all about the Song of Ice and Fire. Talks about Aegon's dream, and she's like, what do you mean? What are you talking about? And he's like, Aegon. And she's like, our son, Aegon. And then he's like, yeah, the prince that was promised. It's true. And she's like, what do you mean? Like Prince Aegon, like our son. And she's like, unite the realm. You must do this. So it's almost like the conversation that Rhaenyra was having with him the other night. Like this is like the other side of it, basically. And
yeah, because he does kind of start off by saying, like, you want to know about the ice, like what I think about this, like Song of Ice and Fire. Like it's like almost like he just like continued the conversation.
That's what I'm saying.
It's like
a delay, like a 24-hour delay to his combo with Rhaenyra, and now he's just having that combo with himself. But yeah, and Alicent is. To me, what she is hearing is that Aegon, their son, is the prince that was promised, and he needs to unite the realm. And you must, you know, Alicent needs to make sure that happens. So I think she's totally misreading this, and I don't know what she's going to do with that knowledge. I know, like the Song of Ice and Fire, I figured it was supposed to kind of be a secret passed down from like ruler to ruler. So like, I don't. You know, she shouldn't know it, I guess. I don't know if that knowledge is like dangerous in the wrong hands, or if it's just, again, it's going to start that, you know, different theories of who's the prince that was promised and who's going to unite the realm. And
and he's saying Aegon, he's not saying, you know, Aegon's dream,
right?
You know, the prince that was promised. It's like, what? Like, yeah.
So, yeah, and then she like, you know, blows out the candles and heads out, and it seems as though our King Viserys has taken his last breath. It seems like he mm-hmm. passes away at the end of this episode. So can you confirm the trailer? Like, do they confirm that he's dead?
King's dead.
Okay, yeah. So now his watch has ended. Cheers, long, you know, long may he reign.
He was feeble as fuck, but he made one final big play.
That's a hell of a tombstone there from Matt Datz. Feeble as
fuck. Yeah, feeble as fuck, but you made it one big play. So from the trailer, he's dead. From the trailer, Queen is loving this story about Aegon and the Prince that was promised.
I mean, we saw, you know, that she's getting a little religious fanaticism about her. So I could absolutely see that being the case. And
So that's where we're headed. Let's put a bow on this, Curry. Any final thoughts? What was your general takeaway from the
episode? General takeaway from the episode. So we talked about it on the PvP pod, but a lot of, I guess, like, you know, verified accounts, people who were privy to this episode before the public, they were saying how it was very much like emotional and like one of their favorites. And that, you know, we thought it would be a setup episode leading up to episode 9, which it really was. I mean, it was a setup episode. But
yes,
it also kept the wheel turning a little. But yeah, it was very, very emotional Viserys episode, you know, very much tugging on the heartstrings, family. Exactly. So great performance. Patty Considine, the actor who plays Viserys, I think he had a great performance this week, great performance all season. Viserys was almost like a tragic figure, really. I mean, he just wanted to, you know, do what was right, and he wanted to be, you know, a good king. And, you know, I think he was, but he was just trying too hard to be good and almost like a people pleaser. Like there were so many times where, you know, he needed to rule. He needed to be the king, and he just wasn't, or he didn't rule. And, like you said, today, this week's episode, he absolutely was. He went out as the king. He made huge power play. He put his fist down, and he even, you know, had his knife out. He was finally gonna, you know, take someone's tongue for bad mouth and his his grandchildren and his daughter. But obviously he didn't have to do that. But yeah, I think Viserys, just pour one out for him. That's my big takeaway from the episode is that, it's Viserys, man.
Hell of a run. And I think, absolutely. I think that's a major takeaway. One major takeaway two is like the first game, of the tennis match here goes to Team Black. They get these marriages in line, they get some dragon eggs, and they just had a good night. Now what screws this a little bit is now the Queen's got a story to tell. That's counter to what everybody's heard, what everybody's been thinking. And similar to the Sand Snake, when the Sand Snake's not there, they kind of go to the wife and like, hey, any other final thoughts from your hubby before he died? Well, yeah, there was this one thing he said to me, that's kind of pretty fucking important.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where like, I think like the battle 100% went to Team Black, the war very much still on. And very much Green went from a little bit like, hey, you'll be a great queen to wait, we got something bigger going on here.
Hmm.
And that's where we're at.
And I think if you were to size up the sides today, mm-hmm. Obviously Rhaenyra is supposed to be queen. Like that's where we're at. Mm-hmm. But so it's really, it's Alicent versus Rhaenyra, but like Alicent's not going to be queen. It's going to go to her son. It's going to go to Aegon. Whereas with Rhaenyra, it's not going to go to Luke right away, to Jace right away. And she said that to him when he was speaking to Tyvalyrian. He said, "Oh, King, I got to know the traditional language." And she said, jokingly, she said, "Oh, well, you're not going to leapfrog me. Like, So you have plenty of time to learn." It's Rhaenyra versus Alicent, but it's really Rhaenyra versus Aegon. And then kind of after that, there is, a little bit of Jace versus Aegon as well. But Aegon is just like, how can anyone look at him and say like, he should be our king? Like him, he's just a horrible person, horrible character, doesn't want this. He just wants to drink and fuck, for lack of a better word here, but that's all he wants. And he shouldn't be a king. And then, let's say something happens to him, and then Aemond, who is like the Daemon clone, like he's a wild card. Like, I don't think he's a ruler. Mm-hmm. Helaena, like, no, like she's just, absent-minded. Exactly. She's on another planet. She's not a ruler. So I just think this batch of Targaryen children are not meant to be rulers. And I think it's tough. I don't see how anyone can really back the green team and support them in good faith.
Yeah, I think I think this is where we've talked about this a little bit, but I think this is where the public might come.
Mm-hmm.
And this constant repetitive, these people are not going to like a female on the wheel, a female on the throne.
Yep.
Especially if someone's sitting there saying, "Listen, he wanted his first son to be the heir. He wanted to be, and like, let's make it happen." And that's where I think we might be headed that way, in more of a public push from Team Green as they see their standing within kind of the private room slipping for sure. But yeah, that's my takeaway. Goat and woke, Curry. Goat and woke for series.
So some goat nominees that we got from the listeners. Helen Hart says Daemon. Just said episode 8 swish. So I don't know. I guess he pulled up and swished it. I think Daemon is absolutely a goat nominee this week for showing good gesture toward his brother, the king, and then just absolutely slicing Vaemon. That was awesome. Another goat nominee, this is from Mike Honcho. He says Aemond as a goat. And I think that's it's valid. He took a punch like a champ. He's clearly like a, he's a stud. Like he's weird. But he's a serious, he's got to be taken seriously for sure. So I think Aemond and Daemon are both up there. Personally, I think, King Viserys. I think if he's ever going to be a goat, obviously, you know, he's done on the show, but I think this might be the episode where he's the goat of the week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, I think our boy Luke too. I mean, he gets a wife. He gets the throne as a second born. He gets a king, you know, as they call it.
Yeah, we could definitely put Luke up there. I think Jace had a pretty strong episode as well. I think pretty solid candidates for GOAT. For WOAT, again, Mike Honcho said Vaemond. I think that's the obvious choice, and I think he might win this one in a landslide because one, he, you know, lost his election, and two, he just got killed, just epically killed. So Vaemond is gonna be the favorite there for sure.
Baby Aegon too, man.
Baby Aegon. Yeah, we keep calling him Baby Aegon. He is no longer baby, and yeah.
There is a new baby.
There's a new baby Aegon, yeah. But yeah, Aegon for sure. Just woat. Anyone else? I mean, we could say like Alicent, we could say Plato, but I don't think they weren't strong episodes. Like they didn't gain any ground, but like you said, you know, they may have lost a battle, but the war is very much still going on. So I don't know if they're really vote worthy. But there weren't too many storylines like for someone to have a bad episode this week, you know? Mm-hmm. So we'll think it over, put some options out there. If I were a betting man, then Vaemond would be the heavy favorite for vote.
Absolutely. All right. Anything else, Kerr?
That's about it. We'll go back, watch the trailer. If we miss anything from this episode, we'll make sure to address it and hit you with a preview episode later this week. Episode 9 coming up. As we know, episode 9, penultimate episode, is historically the best of every Game of Thrones season. So I expect this to be the best of the season.
Absolutely pumped up for it. Preview pod later this week between now and then. Follow on Twitter right after Hot D, right after HOTD for Curry. This has been Dats. This has been Right After Dragons. And we will get you a little bit later this week on the preview pod. All right. Enjoy the week, folks.